The Guardian.
Have you always wanted to write a novel, a history, a short story, your epitaph? Want to know how successful authors do it? It's all in a new Guardian book. I'll tell you more at the end of this podcast.
The Guardian Books Podcast with Claire Armistead.
So the puff of white smoke has just been spotted above London's Guildhall. We now know the winner of the 2012 Man Booker Prize after one of the more grown-up judging processes of recent years. With me in the studio to discuss the news are Sarah Crown, editor of the Guardian Books website, and critics at large Alex Clark and Stuart Kelly. Welcome to all of you. Sarah, will you do the honours?
Yes, the winner is Hilary Mantel with Bring Up the Bodies, which, as everyone I'm sure knows, is the second in her trilogy about the life of Thomas Cromwell.
Stuart, are you surprised?
Yes, flabbergasted. I really thought it would be Will Self.
Alex?
Yes, but why am I? I mean, I am. I'm completely taken aback. I think I'd also thought Will Self, possibly Deborah Levy, but why, I don't know.
Well, at the start of this, I said that it was at the end of one of the more grown-up judging processes, and one does always have to look at how the judging has gone, doesn't one, even if one is not party to the particular conversations that have gone on today. Sarah, explain what I mean by that.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I think that part of the reason that it looks so grown-up is that we're seeing it in the light of last year's judging process, which was... Well, grown up is not an adjective that you would have applied to it. It was an absolute humdinger from start to finish. All of the judges were speaking out as the process was going on. We had the whole readability controversy. And then it ended up with the speech by the chair of judges, Della Rimmington, on the night itself, in which she kind of defended the whole process in a sort of slightly alarming way. And so in that sense, yes, it absolutely has been grown up. We've heard very, very little. It's been completely behind closed doors. Nobody's leaked. And it's felt very sort of sober and solemn. And that's probably a good thing.
And Stuart, there was a huge emphasis on complexity and literary style this year, wasn't
it? I think because you had that whole readability controversy beforehand, it was very important for the Booker this year to re-establish itself as first and foremost an aesthetic prize that was looking for genuine literary excellence. And although we're all quite surprised by Hilary Mantel, nobody could deny that it's an extremely adroit, clever, smart, beautifully written piece of work. The whole of the long list even, you saw this real concentration on innovation, on a kind of avant-gardism, and on the actual sentence-by-sentence quality of writing. Now, compared to the previous year, I think that's really been a very important shift. Mm. And it's kind of seen off any of these ideas about there being a new literature prize because the Booker's lost its way. I think, you know, this has put the Booker back as the central prize in Britain.
So we all thought, at least on the Guardian Books desk this afternoon, all the betting was on Will Self. But maybe we were looking in the wrong direction, because actually, if you look at the judging panel, they're not likely to have given it to Will Self. I mean, with all the wisdom of hindsight.
What's very difficult with it is that every year you're actually judging the book. You're not judging the reputation. You're not judging the track record. You're not judging the backlist. To an extent, it's always going to be comparing apples with pears with cuttlefish. They're very, very different kinds of books. However, I suppose that in some ways, the Hilary Mantel fits more with the kind of interest that both Amanda Foreman and Dinah Birch have in terms of their critical
so
work.
So they're historians.
They're historians, but also, you know, Dinah did the wonderful companion to Oxford English Literature. There was a sense in which it's the more... I don't want to call it a conventional novel or a safe novel, but it's a recognisable kind of novel in a way that The Will Self was something wholly new. I mean, I can't think of any book with three streams of consciousnesses, two of which are the same person separated in time. I thought that was...
And they merge into... There's streams of consciousness which sort of stream into each other during the course of one sentence sometimes, don't
sometimes
they?
Sometimes on a word.
On a word.
Sometimes on a word.
That sequence from sex in the chemist's lab of the hospital to golf.
Yeah. The one I loved was the brother of the character in the past picking up the phone and saying, can you put me through to the police station? It's London 432 not availeth thought Busner. So on that one word, he'd actually twisted between the two consciousnesses.
Okay, Alex.
That book on holiday. That's all I'm saying.
Is that why you're rather untanned? You're looking rather pale and interesting.
I just sat under a lamp reading it.
Hilary Mantel has been described as our Shakespeare. By that, I imagine what people are talking about is that she's reinvented the historical novel. But in some ways, Will Self is more formally challenging, isn't he?
Well, I suppose he set himself an entirely different task, and that's to sort of, you know, deconstruct language and deconstruct narrative in a way that I suppose Mantel hasn't. And when I said I was surprised, it wasn't a sort of negative reaction to that book, because I think it's an amazing achievement, but just that I suppose one feels that prize juries often reward something, and that it had already been rewarded. So there's always a surprise when something happens again. And I think nobody expected Hilary Mantel to win for a second time when the shortlist had such a kind of feeling of novelty in a good way about it. Because, you know, The Will Self may not have won, but it has still been recognised as a really important book, as have some other really interesting books, including some unexpectedly short books.
Which, that was always the killer with two of the books on the list, Swimming Home and The Lighthouse. People would say, this may be a little masterpiece. And that word little, I thought, that word little is going to, in the end, be the problem for this book.
They were
book.
Two really, really interesting books, weren't they?
Yeah.
But eventually, I suppose, perhaps they were interesting, but were they actually going to carry a jury of
Now I'm
of
going to bring
people.
Sarah in on this, because Sarah, in our video hustings, made a very good case for Swimming Home, which is Deborah Levy's
Well,
novel.
This was certainly the book that I thought, alongside The Will Self, and having erroneously discounted Hilary Mantel on the grounds that she won for Wolf Hall, so leaving that aside, I thought that the challenger to Will Self was Deborah Levy. And you're right, it's a very short book, it's very slender and slight, and I think that part of the reason that I thought it would win was because I read it several times, and it hugely repaid rereading, and the slightness that you feel the first time when you're thinking this is a very conventional piece of work, it's an extremely conventional model of, you know, middle class family goes on holiday and something goes wrong. In fact, that was just a sort of paper thin veneer over a really dark Freudian, fascinating, symbolic book, and for that reason I thought it was a real contender, and I'm sad for Deborah Levy. I think it's a real shame that, you know.
I wouldn't use the word slight. I mean, I'd use the word stiletto for it. And the fact that she was taking a very conventional form of narrative and really turning it inside out the whole time. I mean, her pedigree is within writing avant-garde fiction. And I think a lot of people read the book and sort of didn't understand the extent to which this was unpicking the conventions, was unpicking the narrative.
It was weird,
parts.
Wasn't it? Because it might have won for readability last year, because it was certainly really, really
and
readable.
It was sort of crimish as well.
Yeah. So, yes, exactly. You know,
it seemed to me that it went back to the French Nouvelle Vague, that's the tradition it came out of. And that's interesting that Will Self also goes back to modernism. They're going forward in looking back, or vice versa.
I think that's completely true. And I think you could make a case with Mantel as well, but not in the Thomas Cromwell books, but in a book like, my own personal favourite of hers is Beyond Black, an astonishing reworking of the Gothic. I mean, if there was one book that I would give the booker to that Hilary has written, it would probably be Beyond Black rather than the Cromwell books, which did the most incredible things with the extent to which you believed in the supernatural elements on it. But there has been this sense of us going back to looking at modernism again and realising that the sort of modernist programme, it's what Gabriel Giosepovici has been saying for years, the modernist programme isn't exhausted. You know, we do need to get back to that sense that these books still have lessons that we can learn from. And what's been good about the booker this year, I suppose, across all the titles, is they were all books that were trying to do something that the books hadn't done before. You weren't reading the list and thinking, well, I've seen this kind of thing before. I mean, I maybe felt slightly that Narcopolis was something
we'd
seen before.
It was doing what Durrell did a long time ago.
Or even my dear friend Mr. Welsh in Edinburgh or San Diego. You know, there's a particular kind of heroine literature that, you know, we're quite accustomed to in Scotland. But, you know, this was a sense of books which were trying to do something that the novel hadn't done before, of stretching the possibility of the form.
Which makes Mantel an even odder winner then, doesn't it? Because she's definitively doing something that she herself has done before.
Yes, and it does put the judges in the future in a rather strange quandary. Mm. When the third part, I mean, originally it was going to be two books. The second book was split into three. The judges in 2014 or 2015 or whenever Hilary publishes the last part are going to be in a real quandary.
You mean you think they've got to give it to her every time?
Yeah, well, it's going to look like, you know, what a falling off is here. You know, you don't want people thinking, well, you know, the first two books are absolutely wonderful and beat everything, but the third one,
Perhaps she should gracefully sort of retire and refuse to be put forward or something
like that. Do a John le Carré on it.
Is there any history of this happening before, of two books in a sequence winning?
Well, with the only sequence we could think of, isn't it, that where a book had won was from Pat Barker's Regeneration Trilogy. But only one, it was the Ghost Road that won. It was part of a sequence, but No.
There's one thing we haven't mentioned, which is that both she and Will Self use the present tense. And
yes.
That is quite difficult to read, isn't it?
I think it's quite easy to read in some ways, that we're so used to a particular kind of historic past as the form of the novel. I know that Philip Pullman made some rather grumpy comments about this being a fad and a fashion, but with Will's book and with Hillary's, it's very important that the characters don't have that benefit of hindsight, that it's happening to them in the actual minute. And for the historical novel, that's a huge difference because, you know, in Walter Scott or in Tolstoy, you've always got the sense that somewhere somebody's looking back and knows how it's all going to work. Whereas in both these books, it's, you know, everything is still contingent. It might happen a different way. I think contingency is the big thing that this book did, which the previous one didn't.
She wouldn't have won even once had she not put it in the present tense, I don't think. I think that's what she did. She's taken a genre that is traditionally cosy, middle of the road and unadventurous. And it's, by doing that one thing, by casting it in the present tense, she's completely revolutionised it.
And
I think
also revolutionising the use of the present tense that I think has been criticised, because in a way it's become so debased, because it's often used to write pretty bad prose.
That's extremely true. I suppose the other thing about Bring Up the Bodies, though, is that the modern concerns in it, the concerns about how you manipulate the judicial process, what kind of evidence torture gives you, this is all very, very contemporary. It isn't the sort of the fustian, chivalric historical novel that we're accustomed to. It's got one eye very much on the present day, I think.
And those scenes at the end of the book, the interrogation scenes, are absolutely electrifying. They're just, you cannot stop reading. And I guess, yeah, I mean, you can see why she... It's awful because we're all sort of making it sound as if she's a bad winner. She's not. She's a brilliant winner. I do genuinely think she is probably the best person writing in England today, in the UK today.
And also, perhaps one of you... Can you say she's written a bad book? I mean, I don't think you can.
No.
Now, there's another story. I'm going to just move us on to another little story here, which I'm going to put to Alex, because you are now recently also a small publisher, aren't you, as well as a critic at large?
Yes.
And there are three small publishers, none of whom won the prize. Is this good that they didn't win it, or do you think it's really sad that they didn't come through?
I think it's absolutely brilliant that they got to this point. And I think, you know, obviously, I think that any prize should always be judged on the books, but what it reflects to you is what great publishing small publishers are doing. The fact that they didn't win, well, yes, it would have been a great story if one of them had, but I think it's a pretty brilliant story as it is.
How would they have managed the sales boost? I mean, Hilary Mantel's sales went up 900% on winning with
Wilf
Hall.
With difficulty, I suppose, but I guess with the book-selling trade as it is at the moment, people would have rallied around.
I suppose the fact that it's gone on to co-publication with more established publishers...
That's a good point. With in paperback, they're all
for the mass market paperback. So certainly Deborah Levy is coming out with Faber. Myrmidon is linking up with Canongate. I suppose I'd put in a little bit of a plea for the big publishers that missed out.
Here we come, the books that missed out. Which are the books that missed out? All of you. Say the books that you would have loved to have seen on.
Zadie Smith's NW.
Exactly. I thought it was pretty much the best book I've read this year.
Yeah.
Although I'd make a little plea for Lawrence Norfolk's John Saturnell's Feast as well.
So those are books that didn't even make the long list.
Didn't even make the long list.
Let alone. However, it is Hilary Mantel's night, and warmest congratulations. Hilary, we love you, so please don't think that we are in any way besmirching your great victory.
Hi, I'm Simon Hattonstone. I'm a Guardian journalist, and I occasionally write books that are not read by many people. Let me tell you about some of the great advice from those who really know how to do it. Top name authors that you can read in a new Guardian book called Write. It's brilliant. Funny, perverse, bonkers and wise. If it sounds like writing, then I rewrite, says Elmore Leonard. There's Anne Enright for despairing writers. Remember, the first 12 years are the worst. So, don't put off that dream of winning the Booker Prize any longer. Get inspired by our new Guardian book, Write. You can get yours for half price, £6.50. using promo code PODCAST. To order, visit guardian.co.uk/bookshop anytime up to the end of October.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.